Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecott, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings and gifts. I've given them those things and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Lamps. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 119 and verse 105. This is in the Psalms 119. I'm reading verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. The word lamp in Strong's is number 5216. It's from a primitive root, from some other words properly meaning to glisten, a lamp, that is a burner or light, literally or figuratively a candle, lamp or light. In the darkness, the psalmist could not even see his own feet. He was not talking about a physical darkness. He realized the steps he was taking with his own mind were not righteous and needed to hear from God first. Your lamp is the rightly revealed word of truth in these last days. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul was rejoicing always because he was living in his presence, where there is fullness of joy and pleasures at his right hand. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Do not let sin separate you from his presence. Those having no confidence in the flesh worship God in the Spirit because they have a right attitude to God and His rightly revealed word of truth and conviction. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. This is in the book of Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Do not listen to those who say God gave you a brain and expects you to use it. Paul was deeply buried in Christ. Anyone can call Jesus Lord and feel his presence upon them, even when their hearts and minds are far from God in worship. Those departing from the presence are not complete in Christ. You will not be declared righteous by confessing your sins to God, but by doing consistently what is right under pressure. 1 John 3 and verse 7. Complete your salvation, abiding in Christ under greater levels of pressure right up to the end of your life. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1. I'm reading to verse 5. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. I'm reading verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2. and five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. The word lamps in Strong's is number 2985. It means, from another word, a lamp, a flame bearer, a light or a torch. You might not be bothered about having a torch during the summer months because of long days. But as the winter approaches, you get your torch ready and make sure it has some batteries in it that will last. The darkness in this world is increasing, and your ability to hear the rightly revealed word you need under pressure is your lamp. The foolish took no oil with them trying to meet Jesus because they had a confidence in the flesh. The foolish are fickle, reactionary, and respond when it's too late. They blame others when they have not made the most of opportunities to repent and learn spiritual lessons of faith on the narrow way. There is a price for following Jesus, and it's not too late to repent deeply and learn from your mistakes with the grace and anointing of God. The oil is the wisdom you gain yourself following Christ consistently. Jesus continued in Matthew chapter 25, and I'm reading verses 6 to 10. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, starting in verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Anger, frustration, and bad fruit manifesting is enough evidence in anyone that their own foundation is still unrighteous. Wise virgins that use a sin list diligently to repent deeply will enter the kingdom of heaven before the wicked and lazy servants leading the church today. Those that believe they can come to truth with their minds are fools. Never compare yourself with anyone else if you want deliverance from sin. Your route to freedom may require deeper repentance in one or two areas specifically, like not thinking when you should be listening. If you have lost your first love for the sake of your fleshly desires over a period of time, do your first works over again. Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5. Only the mature converts in the last days will have enough godly wisdom to stay awake. At the very end, baby Christians and those doing their first works over, beware. You may only slumber, but others around you will be falling asleep spiritually, making excuses, doing what they want, when they want, as Jesus returns for his bride. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. I'm reading verse 11. "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." Verse 12. "That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." To get the full assurance of hope at the end, everyone needs to ask God diligently what to do. The pressure will increase gradually, so following Christ is never boring. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Hebrews 6:11 and 12 says, But we do strongly and earnestly desire for each of you to show the same diligence and sincerity all the way through in realizing and enjoying the full assurance and development of your hope until the end, in order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, by their leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom and goodness, and by practice of patient endurance and waiting, are now inheriting the promises. Following Christ means leaning your entire personality on God, so he can express himself through you without interruption in complicated situations. Jesus said in John 5:30, this is John's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, John 5:30 says, I'm able to do nothing from myself independently of my own accord, but only as I'm taught by God and as I get his orders. Even as I hear, I judge. I judge as I'm bidden to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right, just or righteous, because I do not seek or console my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1 on Spiritual Maturity, on page 8, Joseph Hedgecott writes, this scripture is the foundation for living a spiritually mature life. When you seek the Father's will rather than your own, you cannot keep from being spiritual. You do not consult your will or personal preferences. Those who listen, trust, and obey have put on Christ. Those who consult their own will using their minds independently of God have not. The mind of Christ is available in the package of salvation, and it's not just for a few special men and women of God with a high calling on their lives. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 15. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm reading verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Paul was listening intensely and getting spiritually stronger. He was not afraid to experience something similar to Christ, and then overcome by asking God what to do, learning new lessons of faith by grace. Those who resist this process and the pressure designed to expose errors of repentance never experience the power, because they do not empty themselves of all that is not Christ-like. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and reading verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. The fear of God Paul received at salvation, meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus, taught him to stay humble. Passing through trials and difficulties, he kept asking God what to do. It did not give up or make excuses. He was able to see the situation very differently to others. Use the grace and truth you were given by Jesus Christ to follow him, and you'll never become a castaway through deep repentance. Luke 9:23-26. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Those following Christ are temples of God and a source of truth and light. The Spirit dwelling and manifesting in different ways should make you ask more questions and get answers. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. This is Matthew chapter 6. I'm reading verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. And if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Verse 23. But if thy eyes be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? In the Living Bible, Matthew 6, 22-23 says, if your eye is pure, there will be sunshine in your soul. But if your eye is clouded with evil thoughts and desires, you're in deep spiritual darkness. And oh, how deep that darkness can be. Those holding on to anything in this world in the last days will have to accept the mark of the beast. If you defile the temple of God by hardening your heart to conviction, how will you ever come to the truth when you need to hear and escape the fire? If you are resisting correction and conviction, your soul will be filled with darkness. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 11, verses 29-32. This is in the book of Romans chapter 11. I'm reading verse 29. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Verse 31. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Verse 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. The Jewish nation had a calling to be a lampstand for the whole world, a salt and light, Matthew 5:7-22. God concluded, however, that Jews and Gentiles both had a confidence in the flesh, so everyone got extra grace to learn righteousness by faith. This was a blessing for all those cut off from God. He is not going to change his mind about your calling to be a source of light and conviction for others. God can put you to the side to give you more time to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. But if you resist your calling, you'll become a castaway. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4-6. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Verse 6, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. In the Living Bible, 2 Corinthians 3:4-6 says, we dare to say these good things about ourselves only because of our great trust in God through Christ, that he will help us to be true to what we say, and not because we think we can do anything of lasting value by ourselves. Our only power and success comes from God. He is the one who has helped us tell others about his new agreement to save them. We do not tell them that they must obey every law of God or die, but we tell them there is life for them from the Holy Spirit. The old way, trying to be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments, ends in death. In the new way, the Holy Spirit gives them life. Paul had become a bright light. He went from the old covenant, using his mind, trying to keep the commandments religiously, to the new covenant, where everything was communicated directly by the Spirit. Paul knew exactly what God required of him in complicated situations personally. He was making no excuses. Start with confession yourself and use the grace to repent deeply. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. This is in Ephesians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Verse 14. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. Those that obey the Spirit and walk in the revelation they receive are children of the light. They respond very differently to those around them, living in darkness, producing some tension, even in the body of Christ. You become light to others by making Jesus Lord and not using your mind to make decisions. Goodness, righteousness, and truth in complicated situations is proof that you are using your lamps. In these last days, there'll be many opportunities for us to shine as the darkness increases. Anything that causes you to get angry today is also light. It might not be pleasant when you are convicted, but at least you have an opportunity to wake up to righteousness with grace and truth and repent before time runs out. Those convicted that still walk in darkness may not get another chance to repent. You must work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Philippians 2 and verse 12. We read in the Psalms 119 and verse 114. This is in the book of Psalms 119. I'm reading verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. There is no place to hide from the wrath of God when it starts. A shield made of any material will not protect you from God, as he is a consuming fire. The day of no repentance is coming soon. James said in James chapter 1, verse 22, and reading to verse 27. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. For he beholds himself, and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Verse 26. If any man among you seems to be religious, and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, that man's religion is vain. Verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Hearers of his word and not doers through repentance that make excuses will be left behind at his appearing. Look in God's mirror every morning and do not ignore small mistakes and blemishes. The perfect law of liberty is a mirror with the help of the Holy Spirit to show you where you got your timing wrong or did some dead works instead, speaking when you should have been listening. Those resisting the word of truth, hearing God in just areas of ministry, are deceiving themselves. Matthew 7:22-23. We read in the Psalms 119 and verse 160. This is in the Psalms 119, and I'm reading verse 160. The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. Man might not change, but God's righteous judgments and truth do not. So we have to change. Man cannot come to truth, because through sin he's corrupt. Those born again have access to the truth to rescue themselves from the judgment that's coming on this world. Empty yourself of what you believe and make a fresh start following Christ by the Spirit. If you want to live a comfortable life, the devil will use the written word and appeal to your flesh, so parts of Scripture you cannot understand with your carnal mind are filled with error. James wrote in James chapter 5, verses 7, I'm reading to verse 20. This is James chapter 5, starting in verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain. Verse 8, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Verse 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Verse 10, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Verse 12, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, verse 20, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Jesus is coming for his bride, that is the fruit of hearing God under pressure. God's servants are always under pressure, reaching the people that have departed from the truth. Elijah was able to deliver a message of repentance by overcoming fear. You may not save a nation, but can help someone else walk in the teaching of the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and prevent a multitude of sins if they will listen. We have a saying in the UK, if you look after the pennies, the pounds will look after themselves. The difference between faults and sins in monetary terms is like pence and pounds. The pounds are sins separating you from God because of your unbelief or areas where you are still departing from the truth for the sake of your flesh. A fault is failing to acknowledge God under pressure that shows you where you are leaking spiritually. The mature are thankful for the pressure, confess and make no excuses for their level of maturity. They endure affliction, seeking his kingdom and his righteousness by the Spirit. Matthew 6, verse 33. They change and confess their faults to others, following Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm reading verse 25. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him. Lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verse 26, Verily I say unto you, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Those walking in the light go to the judgment seat of Christ now, seeking answers from the righteous judge in complicated situations, but asking him what they should do. There are no rules. God can have mercy on whom he wants to have mercy. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. This is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. I'm reading verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Verse 19. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. You can do things the easy way or the hard way. Dealing with sin at the thought level prevent the misery of reaping the consequences of sin later. The high-minded making small mistakes again and again under pressure need to repent. Small mistakes under pressure are early signs that you still have a confidence in the flesh and you need to seek the Lord. Why? Confess your faults and then repent, or you will eventually be separated through sin and fall from grace through pride and earthly gain. We read in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 and 12. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, I'm reading verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Verse 12, And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. The day of no repentance is coming soon, and there will be a vast amount of evidence for those facing the great white throne judgment when the books are opened. No one will be declared righteous by works, but faith without works is dead. Our righteousness is by faith, doing only what he said to do by hearing and obeying his Spirit consistently. Paul wrote this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 13. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Saviour and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Verse 2, Unto Timothy, my son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 3, As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Verse 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Verse 6. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling. Verse 7. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. Verse 8. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, and for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Verse 10. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Through hearing God consistently in all areas, Paul was made a minister of the gospel. However, he couldn't find anyone in Ephesus who wasn't listening to fables, trying to understand everything with their minds, and causing others to stumble through unnecessary questions about God and his word. Ephesus did not have the righteous fruit of love expressing itself through faith. This is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience with unfeigned faith. Some were even taking parts from the law, removing the conviction it was designed to bring to those who needed it. The law is a great source of conviction, but some had become brute beasts in Ephesus, making many excuses for sin. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32. Paul wrote this in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. This is Ephesians chapter 1, and reading verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13. In whom you also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after ye that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You can be among one of the first converts to trust in Christ and then fall away if you do not respond to conviction and keep repenting. The Holy Spirit's salvation is a seal through conviction that if you ignore, you'll end up on a way that seems right and perish. You might wait until you learn to hear his voice in ministry, but you're deceiving yourself. If you cannot respond to conviction now and get to the root of sin, you will never trust God with your whole heart. Study the word of truth, not the written word, with your mind, or you get puffed up again. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. You are not his purchased possession if you're still doing what you want, when you want. Any opportunity to obey God in the small things is a blessing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and reading verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There is a bank in heaven for all those who have lost something for the sake of following Christ that you cannot take with you. What you send on ahead now, you will have for all eternity, because it has no hold on you. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. In the Message Bible, Matthew 6, 9-21 says, don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. With the wrong priorities, you are not seeking those things Paul told Timothy. If you want righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness, you cannot learn them academically, as the flesh is corrupt. You'll become a counterfeit or a castaway if you do. We read in John chapter 10, verses 24 to 28. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm reading verse 24. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse 26. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Jews were not his sheep, because they did not come out to him in the wilderness or follow him around between meetings to learn more. Your eternal security is not based on church attendance, but following Christ consistently like a sheep. This includes hearing his voice, getting to know and follow him now by the Spirit, without an opinion. Those hearing God and doing what he says under some pressure will be declared righteous based on the fact that they did what the Spirit told them to do personally. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 6-8. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8, I'm reading verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you do not stop thinking about your earthly life, unbelief will manifest, and you will perish and die spiritually. The spiritually minded are thinking what they need to do next in complicated situations so they can obey God perfectly next time. Your calling may be overwhelming, but do not listen to the flesh, because it cannot submit to God. Those carnally minded want to do everything systematically, without the need for conviction and correction or asking God consistently. We read in Acts chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. This is Acts chapter 9, I'm reading verse 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Paul was fighting conviction the whole time up to his meeting with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He immediately asked what he must do as part of his repentance. Seeking a clear conscience, he followed instructions exactly. He repented of a confidence in the flesh because through it he was convicted of persecuting his own Messiah. Paul was delivered from the body of death by establishing Jesus as the functional Lord of his own life, not by just calling him Lord. Romans 7 and verse 25. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1, and reading to verse 3. This is Hebrews chapter 1, starting in verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Verse 2. Hath he in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. By sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, we were all shown how to obey the Father through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now there's no excuse for anyone born again by the Spirit not to hear, trust, and obey. In the past, prophets were used to deliver fiery messages of repentance when his people resisted the truth. Then there was a period of 400 years in Jewish history from Malachi to the appearance of John the Baptist. Jesus died at the right time when the Jews had become enemies of the faith, Romans 5:8. Jesus was very harsh with the religious leaders and hypocrites because with their man-made rules, they were hindering those who wanted to enter the kingdom and repent. Everyone could see how corrupt the flesh really was when the Jews rejected and killed the Christ. By grace, the conviction of killing their own Messiah was their last chance to repent deeply and enter the kingdom of God before the destruction of the temple in AD 70 by the Romans. Jesus was speaking to Thomas in John 14, verses 6 and 7. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 14, I'm reading verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Thomas did not really know Jesus personally up to that time. However, Jesus showed all his disciples the way to overcome death, hell, and the grave at the cross in the same physical body by consistently acknowledging God in their ways. The Father could reveal himself through Jesus because he was obedient to the Spirit, even unto death. Philippians 2 and verse 8. If you hear, trust, and obey the Spirit now, you are one with God, and the Father can be clearly seen in you in the midst of a trial or difficulty too. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 to 11. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Verse 9. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. The testimonies of God making a way for you personally today using the spiritual light he gave you where there seemed no way, is your treasure following Christ. Use earthly wisdom sparingly, as it is devilish, James 3 and verse 15. The darkness in this world is increasing today because the church has lost its saltiness or ability to bring conviction. After a long period of darkness, there may be some intense persecution towards those living in the light. But this comes from the religious leaders when you look at history. You need to hear from God consistently. Let God do the work to produce strong conviction in others through your response and not answer back in complicated situations out of your own mind. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one, explain how you personally use His word as a lamp to the way you are living today. Number two, in what ways do you practically hear God speaking and explain how do you respond normally? Number three, explain the difference between sins and faults and give examples in your own life of what you have learned from small mistakes with the help of the Holy Spirit. If you want to hear, get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow way, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works where you do not have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good. It is signposted heaven this way, and many well-meaning good people attending church are on the broad road. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been speaking about lamps, and I pray that through this message you will recognize the calling you have. It's a holy calling to have your lamps burning for Christ. You're not going to be like this world. You're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and your light is going to shine from now on because you do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. And you're going to do it out of love. You're going to do it to please God primarily because you belong to Him and you have a special purpose on this earth to do something that none of us can understand with our natural carnal minds. I pray that this message has inspired you and challenged you. I want to pray with you right now. Father, all those who've listened to this message and you've been speaking to them, calling them, urging them. And right now I pray for them that they will use this as a time to repent and grow spiritually through what they have neglected and what they need to do right now in Jesus' precious name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you, and thank you for listening.